بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. We're reading from this kitab معاملات. معاملات، many builders they mix up the words معاملات and معمولات. So معمولات is what we do daily. وظائف، قرآن تلاوة، ذكر الله. That's called معمولات. And this is معاملات. معاملات refers to the spiritual dimension of monetary dealings in Islam. So financial and business dealings, this is called Mu'amalat. So today we'll begin chapter 16, pertinent advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number one, Iqala. Iqala refers to cancellation of sales. Person now concluded a deal, whether he bought something, sold something, and somebody wants to return the goods. Today we find big boards in the businesses. We have policies, no appro, no return, no refund, no. So put that also, no barakat. Yes, there are certain items now which cannot be returned, that we understand. But we find many of these chain stores and companies owned by non-Muslims, with a smile they'll tell you 14 days return policy. 14 days or 7 days return policy. If the item merchandise is not open, we'll take it happily and they'll give you a refund, etc. And the way they'll serve you also, as if now you are buying something. But our businesses, you come to return something, you've got to return, just wait here. You've got more important things right now. And they'll make you wait. They'll do it with a smile. And if you don't have the receipt also, they'll check online, look for it, try and help you out, etc. We'll say, no receipt, sorry, we can't take it back. But you can see your tag is there. The price tag, maybe the business's name is there, and you know this is your goods, can't help you. Alright, the manager is there. At the same time, we also, the manager now is only working there. Now we know, fight with him. We have to fight with him. He's doing his job. What instructions he has. So we have to strike a balance also. We look at the reward for this now. The advice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to iqala, cancellation of sales. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if someone takes back an item bought by a Muslim, if someone takes back an item bought by a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins on the day of Qiyamah. He cancelled the deal and he returns the person's money, Allah is prepared to forgive all a person's sins on the day of Qiyamah. This is the riwayat of Abu Dawood Sharif. Hazrat Abu Shuraih radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who takes back something bought by his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins on the day of Qiyamah. Tabarani. It happens that at times a person buys an item in haste and later on wishes to return it as he realizes that he does not need the item or he needs the money for something else. Therefore, if the purchased item is in its original condition and no fault is found in it, one should accept the return. But obviously, there are times when you can't accept it now. It's been used, the original packaging now, person destroyed it, threw it away, now how are you going to resell it? Therefore, if the purchased item is in its original condition and no fault is found in it, one should accept the return, as there is great reward for doing so. Having board stating no refunds, no returns is highly inappropriate for a Muslim businessman. As we already say, we're living in barakat. When barakat from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So we're looking for avenues, not to make money. We're looking for avenues where we'll find the barakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And barakat, subhanallah, they say if a person has barakat, then the little money he's making, Allah will stretch it for him. How it will happen? Allah will make it happen. Allah will stretch the money for him and all his work will get done. Example we always give is a person, his car battery went dead. So he went to the battery shop. Into the battery shop, he asked the person, how much is the battery? You say, I have two types. One is now 2,000 rand, made in China, 2-year warranty. Other one, 10,000 rand, 10-year warranty, made in Germany. You say, 10,000 rand, out of my budget. Shalom, Bismillah, give me the 2,000 rand, Bismillah, put it. He puts a 2,000 rand battery, and in the battery man's mind also, here's one garak, 2-year garak I got here. Customer for 2 years, 2 years time he'll be back in my shop. So he puts it. And then they say 5 years later he meets him somewhere in the masjid, Shab Guzari program. So ask him, how's the battery? Say, hey, barakat. Took me 2 years, 5 years is carrying on. 5 years is carrying on, barakat in it, that is barakat. Person earned, he may profit for the day 2,000 rand. Other shopkeeper, spaza shop, he may 200 rand. Both are returning home. That person, before he reached home, 2,000 rand in his pocket, the wife phoned him, that iron you bought for me, just packed up, a warranty expired last week. Please get me another iron. How much you bought it for? 2,000 rand. Quickly go and get me one and bring it away. I want the same one. So he came back home with, profit was gone, he had to come back with a new iron. Other person, barakat, 200 rand, he came home still in his pocket, and his iron, checkers brand, still carrying on, mashallah. So where's the barakat? There was no barakat, although big figures, but he just went. Other one now, where cheap brand, and is lasting longer than the expensive brand, barakat in it. Because there's taqwa behind it, taqwa, there's amal, and there's no greed. He's earning, and he does amal like this, he's waiting, somebody will come and return the goods, no problem, with a smile, and having yaqeen upon the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is barakat. Investing in another property after selling one property. Sa'id bin Huris radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sells land or a house and does not invest the amount obtained therefrom in something similar will not be blessed herein. There will be no barakat. He says that Sa'id bin Huris radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sells a land or a house and does not invest the amount obtained therefrom in something similar, buys another house or another property or another piece of land. Land belongs to Allah. If Allah gave you, it's Allah's blessing upon you. As we say, the landlord is Allah. The landlord, the lord of the land is Allah. We just now, the land owner. And this word ownership also, Allah Ta'ala borrowed this term to us. You the owner. Original owner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala gave you a piece of His land, then there's barakat in that. So if you sell one, then invest it now in a similar one, and if he does not do this, then he will not be blessed herein. Closing a door of sustenance. Nafi bin Samura radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to export goods to Syria. Nafi bin Samura, a sahabi radiallahu anhu, used to export goods to Syria, and thereafter began exporting to Iraq instead. Once he visited Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, obviously behind parada, because the amount of masail she knew. Ulama said that two-thirds of fiqh, two-thirds of masail, the ummah learned from Aisha radiallahu anha, two-thirds. When sahaba ikram, they were in a fix, they couldn't come to any conclusion, etc. Then behind parada, they would go to her out of necessity. And she would explain to them the masail of she heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went to visit her and informed her what he had done, that he was exporting to Syria. Now he's exporting to Iraq. So as Aisha radiallahu anha questioned him about the reason for his action, and thereafter stated that she heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that a person should not close a door of sustenance that has been opened for him unless he is forced to do so due to unfavorable circumstances. If it was good, carry on with it. Don't be greedy. Don't be greedy. Alhamdulillah, that avenue was open, is carrying on. So keep it open and make dua for barakat. And don't go into something which you're uncertain, that maybe it might work. This is working out so many years already. Our Akabir also tell us, when we were in our 1 year Jamaat, we were returning. So Mullah Ahmad Latsab called us towards the end of the 1 year. So he sat up in his bed, many of the ulama were there, local Pakistani ulama. So he mentioned that, I'm going to tell these boys something, you might not agree with me. But I know these people's halat in South Africa, their condition. So he told us, you are ulama, you are qualifying, you are going back home right now. So he said, we don't people that are free, farigh people, free in tabligh. They know I'm free for tabligh, whole day. He says, no, people will think tabligh is for free people. People don't have job. He said, no. He says, you can't be teaching the whole day also. Not all will be teaching Darul Ulum. Some will teach maktab in the afternoon. Some will teach hifz also. Some will do adult classes at night. So he says, that business which Allah Ta'ala blessed your father with, and paid for your madrasa fees, so to say, and allowed you to come for 1 year, and made you free to do all the dini activities, now go back home and tell your father that I will join you in the business. I want to learn that how you're running the business to support you and help you. How we say milking cow. Cow is still giving milk, alhamdulillah, don't throw it away, don't slaughter it. Say, go and learn the business. And in the afternoon, now you do your maktab, do your madrasa, and in the night, now you do your gasht. This is our tartib. So Allah Ta'ala gave that, there was barakat in it, blessings in it. Don't go and say, no, sorry, I'm not coming to the shop. I'm going to do my own thing, etc. Alhamdulillah. That was the barakat that you enjoyed. They made you an alim of deen. Allowed you to come in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So go and learn it. That's wrong with it. It's part of deen also. Yes, without being greedy now. That I want to become millionaire quickly and live it up. And have holidays upon holidays. No. He says a deen-i khidmat. Father worked so many years that he made you free to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he allowed you to come in the path of Allah. So as an amanat, Allah ta'ala has given you that avenue. So as a service to a deen and a khidmat to your parents, go and learn that how the business runs. And obviously with mashwara, with your father's mashwara, then he says, you see the barakat in that. Generations now will eat from there, not just mal, but the amal will come out from there. The causes of deen will come out from there. Investments of akhirat will come out from there. So our akabir are very, very balanced in their thinking also. They don't give mashwara now that no dunya, don't do it. It's not dunya, that was deen. Your father was sitting there. Alhamdulillah, from there you became an alim. There were two brothers also in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one brother used to be full time in the majlis, sitting by Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Other brother was working. So he came to complain to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, that, Ya Rasulullah, my brother, who is sitting by you? I am doing the work, I am footing the bill, so to say, all the expenses of his house and my house. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, La'alla Allah turzaqu bi. It's possible Allah ta'ala is giving you a rosy because of him. Allah is giving you a rosy. Sustenance because of him. He's in the path of Allah. Allah Ta'ala is giving you barakat over there. Doesn't mean now you must go in the path of Allah also. That you tell the brother, no, you carry on. And I'm enjoying myself now, counting the money. He says, no, you also must have tartib. Where you got your time also to go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Chapter 17, Barakah, blessings in business. Fulfilling rights of goods. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who acquires goods while fulfilling its rights, one who acquires goods while fulfilling its rights, will find barakat, blessings in it. Fulfilling the rights of the goods will find barakat in it, blessings in it. While one who acquires goods without fulfilling its rights will be like the one who eats but does not get full. Again, while one who acquires goods without fulfilling its rights will be like the one who eats but does not get full. What does it mean, fulfilling the rights of the goods? The meaning of fulfilling rights is to acquire it through permissible means. Through permissible means, not haram and through greed, etc. One is now, he acquires it through permissible means. Not living on interest, on overdraft, on the bank's money. Now that is greed. According to necessity, alhamdulillah, we do business. So, through permissible means and on a higher level, on spiritual level, our Akabir tell us that he also acquired his wealth or goods with correct yaqeen, with correct conviction that all this happens from Allah. Otherwise they say that if a person acquires goods or wealth with incorrect conviction and yaqeen, that I'm controlling, I'm the one sorting everything out, then they will say spiritually that wealth is haram for you. Because it's tainted. We did it with a tainted heart. So your full barakat, full blessings. Then, as our husband tells us also, that the hands are busy in dunya, the hands are busy. He's on the phone, he's taking this call and that call. So many cell phones he has also. Because he's got one agent in Bangladesh, he's got one in China, and he got somebody clearing the docks. And then he's all different time zones, different phones he's got. And he's busy, roaring business. But he says the hands are busy, but the heart is busy with Allah. How he's busy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how it should be. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seven people will enjoy the shade of the arsh of Allah. Seven will enjoy the shade of the arsh of Allah. This our brother told us yesterday, he says that he took a shower in the afternoon. He said, shukr, we got cold water. Not hot water, shukr, we got cold water. Asking why, he said it was blazing outside yesterday. Brothers realized by how hot it was. It was blazing yesterday. And to have a cold shower. And we're sitting over here. Now you can understand the shade of the arsh of Allah. We all will be in the mizan, in the blazing heat. And those under the arsh will be relaxing. We had a good sleep. We didn't hear anything. We don't know what's happening. We just had azan. We woke up at 11:30. The Ibrahim Sahib came. And we woke up 11:45. The sleep was so heavy. Maybe we enjoyed it. Outside they couldn't even sleep, they couldn't even work also. Now to we are sitting, we don't even know how hot it is. This is the shade of Allah. Allah is giving us now already. We're sitting in his shade actually. In the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala keep us always like this. And our families and the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We'll be cool. No fikr, no worry where the supper and the lunch is going to come. No worry. Where the supper, what's on the menu? The venue is already here. What's on the menu? They say, subhanallah. Hey, just being served the food. This is how to be on the day of Qiyamah. Those that made, alhamdulillah, made their miles, right? They got their status and they got their iman and their amal. So Allah say, come enjoy. The food is laid out. Come enjoy yourself. What's happening outside, you don't even know. If you just have to step outside and the taxis are there, you realize how hard they are working just for the day only. Just to make money for the day, how many rounds you've got to do? What we are doing, 5 times namaz from Quran, tilawat, and Allah Ta'ala is sending, how is coming, where is going to come from, where the food, who's paying, who's sorting out, light account, light bill. The only time we realize the aircon goes off, hey, what happened? What happened? Why, we're not paying the bill, but Allah is giving it. How is happening? So Qiyamah's day will be the same also. Allah Ta'ala make it like that. So Hazrat says, now how? That you're busy in the shop, busy with everything, but the heart is busy with Allah. How to tune the heart to be busy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, رَجْلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. That man whose heart is attached to the house of Allah, he will enjoy the shade of the arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. That his heart is attached to the house of Allah. Now how we have that attachment? Very simple. Our work is very simple. Hazrat says, all you have to do is just now have your ma'amulat for the day. I got chast, I got ishraq, zuhur salah, asr namaz, maghrib, awabin, all your faraiz, sunnahs and nawafil. As we mentioned before, we got the boxes there. Now tick the box. I got my fajr wa jamaat, got ishraq also, alhamdulillah. Now I'm planning for zuhur. So a person is busy there, but every now and then shaking the clock. 2 hours left for zuhur namaz. So where's the heart? For zuhur. Just now will be salat al-duha. Let me just now break away. Get 2 rakats at least. So where's the heart? Yes, it won't be permanently, but the fikr is there, underlying fikr is there. Underlying fikr is there. I'll get my salat al-duha, then the zuhur namaz. Then I'll come away quickly back to work. Then back for asr namaz. So 3 hours left. So the heart and the mind is where? In namaz, salah, I'll get back. I'll get back to the masjid. And finish early, I'll go away back early today. And I get at least quarter para before namaz. Right, okay, do some ma'amulat a little bit at least. So he's already planning. So where the heart is in the house of Allah. So Hazrat says now, the reality is that I want to be there. I just have to be here. I just have to be here. But if I can help it, I'll be there full time. Not that now I'm enjoying it, I'm sitting over here, my life has come out here. Right, that now, the way I'm enjoying my office work or enjoying my business. Hazrat says now, some people they sit in the business and they just enjoy the ringing of the till. Hey, customers are coming. Things are happening today. That they enjoy. He said, he's enjoying now, speaking about Allah, Tasbihat, Durood Sharif, Quran Tilawat. He wants to get back to the house of Allah, back to the masjid. Hazrat mentioned to us also one time, there was a friend of his who was a gold merchant. He said, now he's very busy. He's dealing in gold all the time. So Hazrat says, we met. And so he was saying to Hazrat also, that Alhamdulillah, I just finished my tarabih also made khatam, was hafiz al Quran. So Hazrat says, every year tarabih, every year I did my tarabih, alhamdulillah. He said, well, where you get time to learn your Quran Sharif then? All day you're busy. And the goal now, market is international. He said, where you get time? He said, no, very simple. He said, I wake up 1 hour early every day before Fajr, I do my 3 paras. Do my 3 paras before Fajr namaz. Then I go to work after that. So I got the entire year that is my ma'mul. Like 3 paras every day before Fajr. Another person Hazrat mentioned, they went to meet him in his business, got a big wholesale of cash and carry, very busy. With the Hazrat went, somebody else went. So they went about 8 o'clock in the morning. So when they went there, the person at the desk told them, just hold on, the boss is busy right now, he's in a meeting. Watch, he's in a meeting. So he sat, he waited. Now, doesn't know who's waiting outside, but got a massive empire, how many staff working for him also. So finally, the secretary told the person, we can go inside now. After some time it was. So he said, as the person walked into his office, plush office of everything, as he walked in, the person was closing his Quran Sharif. He said, secretary said, you were in a meeting. Gee, I was in a meeting with Allah. Every day, 1 hour, when I come to work, my Quran comes first. Before all my other meetings, everything is closed, no phone calls, nothing, the phone is off. Phone is off, I do my 3 paras first, my 1 hour Quran tilawat, then I start my day. How can it be that I start all the meetings with the makhluk and abandon the khaliq? He gave me this entire empire. So 1 hour I give to him, 1 hour meeting, everything is cancelled and stopped. I start my Quran tilawat first. Then I start my work. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So you can understand now really where the heart is. This I'm doing this, but this is my thing. My Quran is my thing, it's my life. So Hazrat says this should be our life also as believers. Not just now business. And then there one poem of Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He says that Qaza Akar Angamae Dunya ko khamush kar diya. He says Qaza came. Qaza refers to Malakul Maut. He makes Qaza, meaning he finishes you off. He makes Qaza of you. Like the Qazi. Qazi, he gives the final decision, take him to the gallows. So Qaza Akar, the Qaza came, Malakul Maut came, and Hangamae Hayat. Hangamae Hayat, Hangama means, why should I say Hangama? Chaos. The chaos of your worldly life, Maut came and just silenced it. Finish is over. So Hazrat gives the example, he was busy, he's got this big table over there, sitting in his office. There's one call here, other call. He said, just hold on, I'm taking the call now. There's one on this year, one on that year, this supplier, that retailer supplying over there. Right, the goods are coming to, right, it'll be here tomorrow. We're delivering. And you clear, he said, it's got no time for anything else. And there's another call coming over there also. Just hold on, I got a call from Bangladesh right now. Just got to confirm now what designs I want. Because just now winter time will start. And he's busy in that entire thing, got no time for anything. The wife will phone also, he tell them, I'll call you just now. The person comes, I'm in a meeting right now, I'll call you in the afternoon. No time for anything. He's so busy right now, no time to eat also. And if he eats also, doesn't even register whether he ate or not. Can't remember what he ate. And when he took the last bite of the sandwich also, he's going for the next one, oh, it's finished. Didn't even realize also. Because on the phone, they say when you're on the phone and you're eating, then the brain doesn't register you eating. The brain is saying you're busy. And then you realize that the coffee is finished also. And the sandwich is finished. I didn't realize I ate also. Because that phone is such, it takes over your entire mind. So Hazrat says, he's so busy, this person like that, no time. Jamaat comes also, sorry, I don't have time right now, I'll meet you in the masjid. No time to welcome the Jamaat also. No time to spend some time in the path of Allah, to take all time for itikaf, even nafil also. So busy he is. See, qaza, akar, Malakul Maut just came. He's not going to tell you, oh, you're busy, I'll come later. No, he's not going to make an appointment and phone the secretary or send you a WhatsApp. He's going to come and tell you what's up. By what's up? You ready? Time to go now. You see, he just came and he said, whole hangama. And busy, telling the wife also, busy. He says, just khamush kar diya. Just silenced it. Then Hazrat says, the phone call is still coming through. Now the family going to say, he passed away. He's gone. I just spoke to him yesterday. Oh, those calls now, they're going to put one message there. That this now, my contract is over, so and so has passed away, inna lillahi. See, before that time comes, sort out your life. Which way are you going with your life right now? You're living just for dunya to amass, or you want barakat? When barakat in it, Allah will give it. Let your heart be attached to the house of Allah. Let your heart be attached to the house of Allah and break away. And how beautifully Hazrat explains also, when you got all these fara'is, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, you'll become my beloved. Fulfill the fara'is. من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب. Then my banda continues coming closer to me with his fara'is. And then when he comes into nawafil, when he comes into nawafil كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به. Allah says once he comes into nawafil, then I become the ears he listens with. I become the hands he touches with. I become the feet he walks with. What happens? He becomes totally Allah wala. Through nawafil. Through fara'is you become close to Allah. Through nawafil, Allah says, I take over his life. Hazrat explains his two interpretations. One interpretation is, Allah says, I become his eyes, I become his feet, I become his hands. That a person will want to go towards haram, Allah will steer him away. Allah says, I'm yours now. I only take you to halal and good things, and barakat things. That's one interpretation. He won't go to haram. Through nawafil, Allah will protect him. Other interpretation, so to say, that Allah Ta'ala becomes his eyes, his hands, his feet, whatever he touches, as we say, whatever he touches will turn to gold. Will turn to gold. Dead stock he make profit also. Dead property he make. How did that happen? You say, it wasn't you, it was your nawafil. Because your Nawafil did it. I can't understand. This thing was dead. Nobody will give a second look. And Allah Ta'ala moved it for me. Because your Nawafil. You didn't worry about it. You worried about your Nawafil. Somebody will say, bye. This property now, maybe you got somebody biting. Where are you running to the masjid now? You're going in Jamaat now. Sort that thing out first. No, but it will happen. Yes, we have responsibilities. But Mashwara, etc. Like one person said, they went to China. The person has a habit. Ishraq every day, then dua and Quran tilawat and awabin, all the nawafil mu'ayyad are there. After Isha also, right? The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the person who reads four rakat salah after Isha, four rakats after salatul Isha, Allah will give him the reward of performing that four rakats on Lailatul Qadr. 1,000 months reward. This Allah will give every day. So we read the two sunnat, the two nafil, you got your four rakats. Then your three witr, and then your two nafil sitting down. So to the barakat of that, you get the reward of as if performing it on Lailatul Qadr. That every night you get that reward. So all the nawafil. So he was saying he went to China for the show, etc. Certain products he's doing. So he went to that show and he says in front of me there was a group of businessmen that were in the same business I was doing. So they were seeing all the stalls there, whatever products they have. And they walked past that one stall. He says, I went and I saw it. And I saw what he was keeping, and I said to myself, this is mal. I'm keeping money over here, there's a need for this. Then I thought to myself, how come they didn't see it? Astute businessmen, but they didn't see it. He said, I can't understand. But Allah Ta'ala showed it to me. I said, it wasn't you, it was your nawafil. It was your nawafil. Through nawafil, Allah will give the barakat. Whatever you touch will become gold. And why? Why? Allah Ta'ala will make the rosy easy, because Allah loves you doing nawafil. So Allah will free you more for nawafil. Just give it to him so he's free now. Make his rosy easy for him so he can give me more time. So he can give me more time because I enjoy. Allah Ta'ala enjoys him when Banda puts his head down. How Allah Ta'ala enjoys it. Look at him. How he's making his salah and how he's making Quran tilawat. Allah loves it. Like Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah, as it explains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us. Allah is calling us. Allah is calling us that I want to see you. I want to see you. I made you in muhabbat and love. In the ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah has so much muhabbat for us, more than our mothers, that Allah wants to see us. But what do you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Bazubani hal. But our condition, Ya Allah, I'm very busy. Ya Allah, very busy right now. Ya Allah, you wait, I'll come when I'm free. Right now, I can't make it. Tell the boss this. He says, here's the door. We can leave. Oh, somebody you waiting for a meeting, he doesn't pitch up. How upset you get. And now you say, now you're coming. All right, don't waste my time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, I'm waiting for you. And why Allah is waiting? Hayya ala al-falah. I want to give you success. Whatever you want, I got it by me. I want to give it to you. But you don't want to pick up. You don't want to. You only want to dispatch. But now what you want to do? Put it in the warehouse and pay. All right, you want to put it in the warehouse and pay. Whereas we want to give it to you, already the customers are waiting. So come and take and distribute. But what do you say? Ya Allah, I'm very busy right now, you wait. When I get time, I'll come my own time. Asr namaz, I'll come like 10 minutes before Maghrib. Now up and down. Makruh time. Makruh time. But he said, I read my asr. But you're already late. No barakat. You lost the reward of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling for salah because Allah loves to see us. Allah wants to meet us 5 times a day. And the proof that for salah, where Allah Ta'ala gave it in the sky, He called His beloved. Here's a gift for you, special, special, special gift. That actually for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for the Ummat. When Alim explained to us about salah also, he says that why a mother carries a child for 9 months? Why a mother carries a child for 9 months? Why not 9 days? Or 9 hours? He says, no. Allah Ta'ala puts it to all us, what do you call it, semesters and trimesters and all this. Right. So they put all this halal she has to go through. And then the morning sickness, right? And then the cravings after that. Starts only after midnight. Then you have to go to the engine shop now, pay double the price, but you got to do it. The barakat is that now. So all that she has to go through. Then she can't sleep on this side, she can't sleep on that side. Now the baby is kicking, they're not kicking, then checkups and all. 9 months she has to go through it. Allah Ta'ala puts her through all of this. And then they say when she gives birth, is like as if the sky is touching the zameen. How it crushes her. And at that moment she thinks, now no more children. I had enough. I can't go through this again. And sometimes she has to offer her body for it to be cut up also. Ya Allah. To be prepared to do that. And Hazrat says, you, oh insan, what you did? You just jumped a little bit. You just jumped a little bit in the bedroom, and she had to carry for 9 months. She had to carry for 9 months. But she goes through all of that. And then when Allah Ta'ala gives a beautiful baby, and she puts it in her hand, she forgets the 9 months. Like nothing she went through. But Muhammad Allah puts in the heart. The childbirth also, she forgot about it. It's over. And how she cherished the child now. At one time she was on her own with no children. Right? She would wake up what time she wants to wake up. She wants to sleep in the afternoon. She wants to go for a shower this time. She wants to eat whatever time she wants to eat. Now the baby came, her entire life has changed. We don't even understand it, because ours is still normal. We got our eating time, we got our sleeping time. Baby is crying, you are in daba. You take care of it. For her now, first the baby will have a bath, then she'll have a bath. First feed the baby, then she will eat. Tell us to do that, you say, oh boy, I can't manage it. I need my food now. But she'll feed the baby first, then she'll go and eat. Whether she remembers she ate also, she can't even remember. Sleeping time also, first she put the baby to sleep. We say, we need to sleep now. Please you go sleep in the next room. I have to get my sleep. All that she'll go through. So 9 months Allah Ta'ala puts her, now that baby, she'll give her life for it. Now she give her life for the child. They say in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may sahaba ikram carry this deen for 9 months. Not 9 months, 9 years. 9 years they carried. Persecution, hiding, being dragged on the sands, being beaten up, spat at, what they didn't go through. What they didn't go through, that's why a poet says, O sands of Makkah, if only you could speak, they would tell us the story of Sumayya. They would tell us about the back of Bilal. It tells us the Qurbani of Ali Yasir. If only Makkah said you could speak, what tales and stories you'll have to tell us. Hazrat says, now we go there, smoke cigarette, and throw it on the sand of Makkah Sharif. He says, where's your sharam? You go to Medina Munawwara, and they also, you know, do that. The pure air of Medina Munawwara, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to keep this pure, places pure and clean also. He says that for 9 years, Allah Ta'ala made Sahaba Ikram carry this deen for 9 years. Till the extent they came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi of Allah, how much longer now? How much longer are we going to be taking hiding? Own family members, own brothers, own fathers, own sons are beating us up. We can't retaliate. You can't even hit back. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu in the Haram of Makkah, how they, in our words, what to say, they broke him, broke his nose also, beat him up. Face was disfigured completely. Right now, we just say it, but we really don't register. So therefore, we have to explain to the brothers that what we call this is mob justice. You know, mob justice, how they all just come. One with a bottle, one with a rock, one with a panga, one with this, and they're just hitting them. That's how they beat up Sahaba Ikram. On the floor, taking hiding. And then when he got his consciousness, first question, how's Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How's Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Not even worried about himself, bleeding from everywhere, nose is broken also. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu, Abu Darda radiallahu, what hiding they took. Couldn't hold a kalima back, I had to proclaim it in the Aram. But you get a hiding, I can't help it. I'll take the hiding. Took the hiding, when again next day, let the kalima allowed, again they fell onto him. So what they went through for 9 years, they carried the deen and they came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi, how much longer now? How much longer now? And you tell Ali Yasir, sabran, sabran, ya Ali Nasir, mu'idukum al-jannah. O family of Yasir, sabr, sabr, the meeting place will be Jannah. We'll meet there, don't worry. So 9 years they carried, and then they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, make dua. What's going to happen now? They say, after the cry of Sahaba for 9 years carrying the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now Allah tabarak wa ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for mi'raj. Took him for mi'raj, now give your Sahaba namaz. Direct they can take from me now. They don't have to come to you. This is now that reward for them and that prize that now I'm giving them for 9 years, and then how they held on to Salah. How? Salah became everything for them. Salah, even the battlefield also. Even they're making haras in the path of Allah. They also, they're standing up in guard. One Sahabi is sleeping, one is standing up, and the arrows are piercing his back. But he's not flinching, he's not moving. Suddenly, this Quran tilawat, he's not moving. He finished his surah, then he woke up his sati. He said, just check my back. You got arrows in your back. Why you didn't tell me? He said, I was enjoying my Quran tilawat. I couldn't stop it. I couldn't stop it. So that's how they stood in the path of Allah. So 9 years they carried the deen of Allah, the Allah Ta'ala gave them namaz, that was their baby, they helped pray it. Salah is everything for us. Whether in the battlefield, whether in poverty, wherever they were at that time, Salah came first in their life. Allah Ta'ala give us that value for Salah. So where we went to, where we were discussing. So a person is busy in his business, but the heart is busy with Allah. The heart is busy with Allah. I want to be by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to be there. So I'm very busy, but the heart is there. Ya Allah, I want to get back to you, get back to the masjid. Today is Gush, already preparing for Gush. Right, for example, Gush is on Mondays and Wednesdays. See, the fikr of a Gush starts at tahajjud time already. That today is our Gush. They say our Kaaba, they say, today is your Gush, this is the amal of Nubuwat. The amal of Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. That you're walking with the nur, you're walking with the nur and the power and the taqat of more than 120,000 Anbiya alayhim salatu. You're walking with that on the streets. Every Nabi of Allah walked the streets and gave the da'wat. You're walking with that power right now. Now to get the full nur of it, they say already the fikr starts at tahajjud time. Start making dua, protect your eyes even more today. Take a sadaqah today, turaqat extra nafil namaz. It's amal of hidayat. Who's hidayat? For mine first. We say, well, of mankind, you also included there. First is you, my own hidayat first. I won't give my own hidayat. Then you love the entire humanity till the day of Qiyamah. Like our Shaykh al-Hadith, Dama Barakatuhu, he was giving his car guzari when he went to America and there they had his name on the list. They put him in one room and Farooq Bhai was there. So you know Farooq Bhai? FBI. So Farooq Bhai was there. So Farooq Bhai came to make his mulaqa. He said, Mr. So and so, Mr. Fazlur Rahman, we're going to take you. And for long they held him up. So Sheikh Saab mentioned, he said, Hamara kaam to Allah ki ita'at wa namaz parni hai. Was Hamara kaam, we carry on our job. Whatever work we have to do within the confines of that place, we'll do. We have no fear for them. Right? Life and death in the hands of Allah. They can't harm, they can't give benefit. He said, he was sitting there waiting, they had one 6 foot tall Negro brother looking after him. He said, as if I'm going to do something. He said, namaz time came, so I told him in his broken English, he said, me need to pray. Me need to pray. He said, no, can't pray. He said, I have to pray. The Sheikh Saab, when he's listening, he said, I need to pray. He said, hold on, wait, I'm coming. He went to call the big shot. When he called the chief, he came, he says, what's the problem? He says, my prayer, I have to pray. He said, yeah, where is him a prayer mat? And take him to his ablution. He said, I went. He said, we have to do our kaam. Made my wuzu, read my namaz, everything. So whatever decision they made to deport him back, he said, when they take me back to the plane, he said, I started smiling at them. So I told them, they see, I didn't want to come here, I was called here. Whatever I had to do over here, I'll do it back home. I'll do my gush back home, do my effort back home, with the need of hidayat for your people. Because for Allah Ta'ala, there's no boundaries. I'll make gush over there, Allah will give hidayat here. He said, I give them my dawat and I left. I will do our gush over here locally, no problem. One time he mentioned to us also, it was Sunday morning, I think it was, and it was Bukhari Dars. He came a bit late. So he told us, Maaf Karna, I came a bit late, but I'll tell you why. I was leaving home and the missionaries came. Missionaries. The invite was Christianity. So they stopped me. They said, I stood there. But apna kaam karte rehna. We have to do our work. So before they could start their da'wat, I gave them, say, pure 6 sifat ki da'wat maine de diya unko. So I gave them full da'wat of 6 sifat, 6 points. Gave them from the first till the 6th point. I told them, thank you, bye-bye. I said, I did my job. Whether they understand, didn't understand, Allah samjayega. Allah will make them understand. One day it will go into their heart. So people do our kaam. So Allah Ta'ala gave me tawfiq, so we made that part of the dars also. So now we start the Bukhari Sharif dars, that one day we just finished right now. So the hands are busy, but the heart is busy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once we go to our ma'amulat for the day, and the fikr is there, get back to the masjid, back to the masjid. So I just got to finish my work quickly. Not that now I'm enjoying it, spend more time over here, what else to do and what else to do. Work is finished, get back to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the meaning of fulfilling the rights of the goods is to acquire it through permissible means, to discharge zakat, do qurbani, not earn for the sake of pride. Not earn for the sake of pride. Now I got my eye that I'll make this deal, I'll buy the car, and now Well, he made it. Now he finally got his car. Now we know he's on that bracket. He hit the bracket finally. But the struggle, yeah? Right. Hit the bracket. He bought what car he bought? What's the bracket? He got his Cayenne. He got his Porsche, now he hit it now. So we know now where he's flying right now. Permissible, as I said, permissible, jail, but not with pride. Not with pride. I'm using it now, alhamdulillah, to pick up ulama ikram. I can make it faster to the airport to pick up the jamaats also, alhamdulillah. Go for gush also, no problem. So I'm buying it to use in the path of Allah. So a dirty rag, mata'ul ghurur. Mata'ul refers to the dirty rag you use to clean the residue of the oil and to wash the pots and wipe the pots. Allah has caused dunya, that's a rag, which you actually give no attention to. Right, wipe the sarkhan with it, and it's all dirty and greasy. So Allah Pak says that dunya is like that, the dirty rag. Just use it. Just use it. So he does his qurbani, and does not earn for the sake of pride, fame and showing off, and not spending in unlawful and sinful avenues. One should not forget the faraiz and wajibat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in pursuit of wealth. If these are kept in mind, there will be blessings and barakat. Otherwise, there will be no end to problems and worries despite having wealth. He'll have it, but only problem and worries. He's got fikr. He can't even free him for taqaza of deen also. Can't even free him for salah also. Now, any barakat in that wealth? No barakat. Barakat is when that wealth will allow you to go to the house of Allah and perform your salah with an open and a pure mind. So once again, to understand the hadith, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, one who acquires goods while fulfilling his rights, will find barakat, blessings in it, while one who acquires goods without fulfilling his rights will be like the one who eats but does not get full. What a portfolio he's got. Well, not full still. He's not full still. And all the properties he's got also is this headache. Now that one day the pipe burst over there, there the electricity got cut off. That was another problem. But he got so many properties, but he's actually now, most of the money is being maintenance. Not seeing anything there. Other person got a small property. Hazrat says he's got a spaza shop. You got one? Spaza shop. But top rental is getting. Say, alhamdulillah, barakat. I got barakat in it. Allah shukr. Just a small property I got, one, two small shops over there. And from there, alhamdulillah, we're going for Umrah, we're going for Hajj, we're going in the path of Allah. Alhamdulillah, children are taken care of also. Everything is done from there. Allah's fazl. You got no fikr, no worry. Allah shukr. Other person got now empire, but no sukoon. Counting a time for salah. So, fulfilling the rights of the goods, as you mentioned now, that he earns those goods through permissible means, to discharge his zakat, do qurbani, no pride, no fame and name showing off, and not spending the wealth he makes in unlawful and sinful avenues. Once he does this, then he hasn't fulfilled the rights of the goods. Now there is no barakat. Therefore we mention also that before we spend the money anywhere in the family, always ask, is it necessary right now? Do we have to? Is it a necessity? Is it a need right now, or just a want? It's a need or a want. No, I just want it. We don't need it, so leave it out. Right now. We can do without it, alhamdulillah. Right? And we always say, what will happen? Nothing will happen. Nobody will die. Nobody will get hurt. So we don't have to do it. So just leave it out for now. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. We're reading from the Kitab Mu'asharat, Islamic Social Etiquettes. We're reading the etiquettes of the husband. So we mentioned before, don't make zulam upon the wife, don't oppress her. For between the dua of the oppressor, the oppressed and the oppressor, there is no veil. Then live with your wife with her and speak in a manner that you would want someone to treat your own sister or daughter. Speak to her like that. Don't insult her, don't call her names, don't embarrass her. As you would like now, your own son-in-law or your own brother-in-law to treat your sister, to treat your own daughter. If you dislike some qualities in them, they possess others pleasing to, there will be others that will be pleasing to you. Look at these qualities. No one is perfect. Remember, the grass always seems greener on the other side. Might always look better that side. But what you have, you make shukr for it. When you are overcome by anger and wish to physically or verbally abuse her, then remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose trust she is, Allah's amanat in your house, possesses greater power than you do. You want to vent your anger? So be careful, Allah ta'ala's anger wants to come on you right now. Immediately move away from that place, drink water, and then recite A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. If possible, make wuzu. Remember that after the expression of every bout of anger, there is regret. You're going to say something now, you are going to regret it. So the best is, don't say anything whatsoever. Even if she tells you also that you're not saying anything because you're wrong, now you say, oh Lord, no, I'm not wrong. I'm keeping quiet because my Hazrat told me to keep quiet. Now you're pushing it. You're pressing the wrong button right now. So you press the right button, go make wuzu, open the tap, go drink some water, and go away. Go to the masjid. Get out of sight and then see how you cool down after that. Then you say, Ya Allah, I was so angry, I thought I'd never get over it. Now you cool down. Just have to move away from there. But one thing now is going to hit the heart now to retaliate. I want to react. And later on, she won't forget. You'll forget now really what we were fighting about. I can't even remember. But she didn't forget. You said this and you said this. But you also said the same thing. But they are emotional. Now they hold it against a man. Now he will regret, why did I say it? So better you didn't say it. Learn to forgive your wife. Forgive her as many times that you would like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you for your errors. Remember the English saying, to err is human, to forgive is divine. To forgive is, so you do something divine. Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahimullah will say, forgive her before she makes you angry also. Forgive her before she upsets you. Yeah, Allah already forgiven her. It's done already. Allah will forgive you like that also. Yes, Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahimullah would explain also, that we know the different ahadith. That husband who remains angry with his wife the entire night. So Allah Ta'ala curses her the whole night. Malaika curse her the entire night. So that would explain the hadith actually means that don't get angry with her so that the malaika don't curse her. Understand? It means now that if you remain angry, then she will be removed from the mercy of Allah. She's under the curse of Allah. So let that not happen. We take it to be the other way. That you upset me, you see what's going to happen. Allah's curse on you. You don't know the hadith. Allah's curse on you. As Hakim Sahib will say, kya tum insan ho ya janwar ho? You're a human or you're an animal. That now you'll allow the curse of Allah the entire night, and then tomorrow morning, you go sit there on the table, where's the toast? Now you'll eat her roti. And now you drink her tea. And you won't speak to her, won't give her a word also, keep a straight face, but she must serve me. She must, like she's working here for me. He says, no. You see, you're not insan. There is not islah. He says, before she can go to bed that night, say, Allah, I forgive her. Ya Allah, I made maaf. I made maaf with her, I forgive her. Ya Allah, you forgive me. This is now insan. This is insan. Regard your wife's parents as your own parents. Address them politely and treat them kindly as you treat your own parents. Accord them the same respect and honor as your own parents. Do not place restrictions on your wife visiting her parents unless you have a valid shari'i reason. Learn to communicate constructively. Make a resolution that at the time of a problem, you will sit down and discuss in a dignified manner. Whether she behaves otherwise, you do it dignifiedly. You have that respect, you have that decorum in you. Without raising voices or being abusive, they say, why couples raise their voice and shout? You say, because physically they are close, but the hearts are gone far. The hearts are going far because the fight is on right now. So a person shouts now because the heart can't hear. The ears can hear, but the heart is now turned around. Therefore they start shouting. So no need to shout. She's next to you, you can talk nicely. So without raising voices or being abusive, or you will seek advice, or you will seek advice from someone you both can confide in. Number 23, you cannot choose not to communicate even your silence. Even your silence and body language can send important messages. However, they may be misinterpreted and could cause more harm. So don't give silent treatment. Number 24, misunderstandings and minor differences should not be suppressed. Rather, discuss them in an amicable manner. Don't just put it under the carpet. But sit down and discuss it. As we mentioned now, if you can't sit down and discuss, then send a message. Better you type it out. Right? So there's no direct conflict. So she understands it properly. Or send a voice note. Now maybe when she's there, you might be rough in your tone. So better you send a voice note in a better tone. So she'll hear it, okay, he's a bit calm right now. He's a bit calmer right now. And make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Because shaitan, what he does is, before couples sleep at night, then he starts something. He will start something. And then, Mishkat Sharif riwayat, the shaitan every night, he opens his throne in the ocean. And he calls all his henchmen, all the shayateen. And then he takes kargozari. What you did, what you did, what you did. And then the last one says, before husband and wife slept tonight, I made them fight. They slept separately. They were angry. Husband was angry. The shaitan gets off his throne and hugs him. Anta minni. You are my man. You are my man. Now you created this. This filtered down to the children. This will be a problem. Emotional abuse will start. And no communication. Children will be helter-skelter. The whole house, ibadat will go. Namaz will go. Concentration is not there. Quran tilawat will go. All because of this. So therefore, that his job this every night. Where he's going to try and do this. So Allah Ta'ala give us an understanding. So this misunderstandings, etc., if we can, via a message, a voice note, try and calm it down and remove that misunderstanding as soon as possible. Rather discuss them in an amicable manner, else this could ultimately lead to a broken marriage. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, save us. Number 25, learn to admit your mistakes. This is a sign of humility. Do not attempt to justify your mistakes. Don't ever argue in public. Don't ever argue in public or in front of the children. Don't ever do this. Go behind closed doors. Oh, we best tell the brothers, jump in the car and thrust it out in the car. Who's going to run where now? Nobody can run anywhere. Nobody can lock the door. Now we both are here. Let's go in. So they say, go to the beach, take a drive and throw it in the ocean. Right, it's over now, finish. He says, so take a drive and sort it out. This can affect the children psychologically and could prove detrimental to the marriage. In a serious conflict, call in arbitrators from both sides and let the matter be solved amicably. Spend quality time with your wife and children. Spend quality time with your wife and children. Now the ummah is on a different, now you want me time. What do you want? Me time. What's me time without the husband? Friends. You want friends time. And what are they going to tell her? What are they going to put in her mind after that? Ajib. And the ajib thing is now, the friends will say opposite things. And the husband's friends, they give him good advice. Thereby go look after her. Nobody say throw your wife away. But the masturat, what they'll tell her, hey, doesn't make qadr of you, dump him. Dump him and clean him out properly. See what you can get from him. Make him buy you an apartment, put it on your name also. So you know you can run away somewhere. Alright, and get all the passwords and usernames, clean his account out. And get a life for yourself. So, in fact, they have WhatsApp groups discussing these things also. Spend quality time with your wife and children. The time spent with them is an act of ibadat. Apart from religious activities and necessary business activities, devote yourself to your family. Inshallah, it will reap excellent dividends. Control your tongue at all times. Remember that wounds afflicted by swords may heal, but the wounds afflicted by the tongue very seldom heal. So therefore, be careful. The tongue is a small organ of the body, but the wound is very big. It can be very detrimental, weapon of mass destruction. Never compare, no mention the beauty, character or qualities of other women to your wife. This is extremely insensitive and may cause jealousy, suspicion and unnecessary doubts in her mind. Accept your wife for what she is and do not cast lustful glances at other women. By doing so, shaitan will beautify the form of these other women. When a woman emerges from her home, shaitan beautifies her in the eyes of men. That's why we say, when can a woman leave the house? One of two reasons. Ulama explained. Shari'i taqaza or bashari taqaza. Is the shari'i need, she needs to go for ta'lim, etc. or some program to learn her deen, or it be a human need. That she has to get some things for her personal self, etc. And the best of the mahram. Number one. Number two, how she should leave the home. You have a very particular ulama. When she leaves the house also, the way she must dress as if when somebody sees her, he cannot recognize or decipher whether it's a 20-year-old or 60-year-old. The way she's covered. Can't make out. That is real parda. That is real parda. You can't make out behind that parda, behind that hijab, who the woman is. Hazrat mentioned to us one time also, in Medina Munawwara, Apa was with him, and they were going from the haram back to the hotel room. So Hazrat says, as you were walking, I saw one tailor shop that time. So he said, I thought to myself, I'll take Apa home, and then I'll come and sew for her one abaya or cloak or parda or something like that. So alhamdulillah, Apa was a complete one piece. Complete one piece that just hangs over the body. So Hazrat says that we passed that tailor shop, I saw the place, so I go leave her home and then I'll surprise her, sew her something. So he said, I left Apa at the hotel, I came back to the tailor shop. So I came there, I said, I want to sew my wife something. I said, TK, what do you like to sew her? He said, maybe one abaya, whatever it was. Then as I realized, I don't know her size. So he asked, like, what's the size? He said, yeah. He said, hold on, just now you passed here, the tailor asked it. You passed here just now with your wife. He said, just I passed. Actually, I saw her. I know her size. He said, look at that now. That's his job now, right, to size people up. So he says, just from the height, he already could make out what would be her size. He says, now look at Pardana. This is one piece now with a baggy, very big type of burqa, completely. But even he could now make out, and he made the right size. He said, now this is Pardana now, where a woman shows all the contours of her body, etc. That's why ulama say that this black abaya they are wearing is just a black dress that needs a parda on top of that. Needs something above that. It becomes this one apparel right now. Just a garment. So when a woman emerges from her home, shaitan beautifies her in the eyes of men. By controlling one's gazes, one's love for his wife will increase and one will attain the sweetness of iman. So how they leave the home? So as we mentioned, it's a shari'i need or a human need. So this is how they should leave the home, no perfume, no jewelry, no attracting, even they say these shoes, high heel shoes are not permissible to be out of the house. We attract the attention of men. Shoes that make noise also, will be soft sole. Soft sole that doesn't attract now the attention. If they want to wear these things, ulama say, no problem, wear it at home. You can model a whole day at home. You can model a whole day at home. But one sati told me, he says, hey Mufti Sahab, that person who resigned this, what do you call it?
Samira
Captain, he says, every day I curse him. Every day I curse that person. Samira Captain just spoiled everything. Before this were nice dresses in the house. They look like roses. He said, now they look like, whole day the Samira Captain and even the bed sheets now are smelling of the Captain. With all the kawanu piwanu. Because now they cook with it also and then they jump in the bed with it also. He said, before they have proper clothing. Now, whole day they just live in that only. So all these things that they want to wear should be for the husband, to wear within the home, not to go and show outside. Now you know, wear all these things over here, this is now to please the husband, he gets happy, Allah becomes happy. Now all these are dressing up to leave the house, and shaitan amplifies and he beautifies her when she leaves the house for other men. Now his wife dressed up, your eyes are going there. Your wife dressed up, his eyes are coming here. So what happens, Hazrat says, now when you go in, behind the scenes in the bedroom, now there's no more fun now, because the heart is tainted. But control the eyes, don't look, she's dressed simply also, you took care of her dressing and his wife also, eyes are protected and you see the amount of sweetness in a person's marriage thereafter. Do not keep in touch or communicate with any female acquaintances from the past, even if they are just good friends. There's no good friends of the opposite gender, it's all bad company. So don't keep any communication with them. This is extremely detrimental to the marriage and forbidden. The wife will always feel insecure. Because now that old school friend, you have more things in common with her compared to your wife now. Right? You share the same teachers or the same classroom, excursions and all these things over here now. So talking about the good old days. And the wife now is sitting there, don't know about these things over here. So you don't keep this type of acquaintances. It's haram, not permissible. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, the most detestable of lawful things by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is divorce. The most detestable of lawful things by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talaq. Don't abuse this responsibility of issuing talaq given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talaq has been allowed as a last resort after all avenues of reconciliation have been exhausted. And if the marriage has broken down and there is no other way out. One counselor was saying, many cases that they've handled. So they've come to the conclusion that possibly 99% of the cases they had shouldn't have ended in talaq. It's just ego. Just ego, or the woman has a different understanding. I get out of this marriage, I'll have a better life. It never happens like that. Never ever happens like that, they'll have a better life later on. At the same time, we're not saying live in zulam also. But marriage is based on sabr and patience. And who'll open the way? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the husband also has to be counseled, go to the ulama, get some islahi ta'alluq, right? Correct his mindset also. Because the reality is when it comes to marriage right now, who is there to teach us how to be husbands? Nobody. We just got into marriage. Who taught her to be a wife? No one. Nobody learned. We just went into such a big thing right now. Such a big thing to take on the responsibility of a wife. And for all, you take on responsibility of a home. How many a young girl is married also? She's married and she goes into a new apartment and all the facilities are there, amenities are there, washing machine, dishwasher, and she goes, she just looks at it now. Where you start with this now? Where you start with this, and before you know it, mashallah, the kurta that was white becomes multicolor. Say, where's my white kurta? The kurta, what they call United Colors of Benetton. Look at it, all different colors. She doesn't know, I mustn't mix the colors. White will go separate and colors will go separate. She did put all one time in the washing machine. Never learn how to use the washing machine. When it comes to the ironing also, alright, then she tell you, no, sunnah to have patches. I'll patch your kurta for you. This is how to iron the kurta, what number to put it on. What to put it on, very hot, with a cotton, with a wool. Doesn't know these things. Alright, cell phone they know. Applications they know. Now they're going to do metric also. Get metric certificate. Alright, we want to study, we want to do this, we want to do that. All these concepts have come. Dishwasher also, don't know how to use it. Don't know how to use it. So all these things that they should learn, this is the intelligence of a woman. How to run the house to the T. How to run to the house to the T, the husband got no taklif, the children. That's why Hazrat said, look at the old woman. They were geniuses. How they ran that home with 10 children, 15 children. And then she knew. She knew now, she got 5 sons, 10 sons, she knew that son's socks is there. Alright, his kurta, that size is there, in that wardrobe. That was in that cupboard. You look now, you won't see it, you won't find it. Tell the wife, hey, my kurta is okay, she come. Here's it, yeah. Oh, I didn't see it. How Allah has given them eyes. And how they run the house, how much to cook, and how much to feed. Alright, and how they got everything checked. Food is always enough, alhamdulillah. How it's prepared also, everything is on time. Alright. So how they're running the entire empire is amazing. Put us one day in the house, inna lillahi, we know what to do, where to start from, but how they do everything together. These were intelligent women. These were intelligent women, alhamdulillah, that produced men, produced ulama, produced huffaz. What an investment she made. What an investment. Then now the children of huffaz, then children of ulama, ikram. And we found now recently also, we had women that were like that. They had the figure of deen in their hearts. And they brought up the children with the love of deen. Now, the grandchildren are ulama, and the huffaz, and so many of them, that when the granny passed away, that the same grandchildren stood around the qabr, within a short span of time, made one khatam already. Standing there, they all made one khatam, they all, mashallah, huffaz and ulama. I mean, what a garden of Jannah she's got now. What a garden of Jannah she's got there, their own grandchildren are standing there, short span of time, standing there by the qabr, just buried her, one Quran khatam down already. Subhanallah. But these are intelligent women. Intelligent women that stay within the confines of their home and enjoyed it in the house. That type of husband also, because of the barakat of she staying at home. Allah will give the husband such amount of barakat that he will give her such a house that she is absolutely free in it. وَلْيَ سَعَكَ بَيْتُكَ Nabi Ali Salatu Salam said, let your house suffice you. It will be big enough for you. So Allah will give her the barakat of a home like that also. Big house where she is absolutely comfortable. Because the barakat of staying at home, compared to one that wants to go out, wants to earn money to buy a big house, doesn't happen. Then we have to go, take a loan, 20 years service alone, etc. But here, Allah will give so much barakat to the husband. I don't have to go anywhere. As that mentioned also, in COVID time, one of the brothers, whole business went down completely. Completely went down. Became zakat recipient. Came to Hazrat, what must do? So said, you start reading your la hawla wa la quwwata. 500 times, started reading it. Alright. His wife was with him also. She started reading. They both started making dua together. So as I say, whatever you can do, whatever the wife can do, within the confines of the home, bismillah, you start doing it. Barakat is from Allah. We met one brother also in Pakistan pushing the cart. They have these vendors pushing the cart, selling scraps of material. Right, you met him in the Sedu Sharif, selling scraps of material. Right, you pick up from here and there, and who will sell? You can have a local African market, they got certain type of material they use for certain things. So he would pick up from here and there, and he would sell halal sustenance the whole day. If I remember clearly, he mentioned to us he traveled to 12 countries already. 12 countries already, and pushing a cart. He said, we do our karma, barakat. We read our namaz on time. Allah Ta'ala took me country upon country, 1 year jamaat, 1 year jamaat, 1 year jamaat. So this couple also, Amal, as a sister, whatever you can do, whatever she can do. So she started making something's at home. Within the confines of the home, he became the driver. Other than says within, I think, 6 months or a year already, they became millionaires. Allah opened it. Allah Ta'ala opened it. She stayed in the home with taqwa, sharam and haya, husband and her made mashwara, Allah Ta'ala opened the rosy. So Allah Ta'ala did with taqwa. That's why it's mentioned in the riwayat also, that when sustenance becomes difficult, then seek it with taqwa and sabr, two qualities. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ هِمَّتْ كَيْ كَامُوا مَنْ سَهِ They say that to adopt sabr and taqwa is an amal of courage. You need courage now. These are not happening right. Sabr and taqwa. Sabr, don't go into haram. Be careful. It's tempting. Very tempting. Allah protect. One brother came to us recently. Allah make it easy for him. Open the avenues for him. So he was saying also, I got that app on my phone. Every time you open the bank app, then he gives you like one advert or something. That pre-approved loan. Just press the button. Right? 200,000 rand, 300,000 rand. Pre-approved loan, 55 days. You can pay it, no problem. So he thought, hey, very good. 55 days, no interest. Within 55 days, 200,000 rand. Just who'll give you? Say, okay, I thought I'll just buy some goods, start rolling with it, and 55 days time I can pay it. But riba based. So he went into it. 55 days came, didn't make it. People didn't pay. Opened another app, another loan over there. Took that loan, paid this loan. Came back with that one, they couldn't pay that one. And before he knew it, within 3 or 4 years, he said he had almost 700,000 rand debts. And only being able to service the interest. Sabr. Don't get into it. Live within your means. Scale down, downgrade it a little bit. Be simple. Allah will open it. Sabr. And taqwa. Consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will open sooner or later. But the motivating factor is not that I want it to open to make dunya more. So my deen becomes easy. In this kitab also is mentioned the riwayat of Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi. He would say, in his time, he was a tabi'i. He would say, in my time, we regard it mustahab for the ummah to have excessive wealth. Excess, not excessive, excess. Have surplus wealth. Have some savings. He says, why? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had such level of iman that in abstract poverty, they were still able to keep concentration in salah and come out to 100% deen. Although they had no food at home. For days. But when they started salah, they were already gone. When it came to tahajjud, they were still up. Jihad, they still were ill-equipped. With poverty. He said, the time has come in the ummah that if the minds are not settled, they don't have enough surplus cash by them, then their salah is no more salah. He's thinking now, ya Allah, what are we going to do tomorrow? How are we going to pay? No food on the table. He says, there's no more salah for him, no more Quran. He's living in this chakr and fikr of paying accounts, putting food on the table, paying the rent. And therefore, he says, we regard it in our zaman, the tabi'in zamana, as mustahab for the ummah to have a little bit excess. So he's comfortable in his deen. So his salah also got itminan. The family is happy, there's no stress. But this will come with sabr and taqwa. So the reason also for earning a livelihood, Allah open it for me so I can have this sukoon in my life. I can read my namaz with itminan. I don't have this constant fikr and chakr. Not that now I want it to open so I can make more. Make a bigger deal, I make more investments. Just greed after that. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika. Just